بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. الحمد لله حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافئ مزيده، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا كريم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. رب زدني علما، رب زدني علما، رب زدني علما. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who has gathered us together today, because in reality, before a week from today, or even a couple of days ago, I didn't know that I would be over here. But the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought me to Sydney on this day. And the topic of our discussion is meeting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meeting the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a man that was known to all as a man of integrity. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a man who was known to the people, the very people that had rejected him at a later date within the life of the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They had known him at some point as the man who was the trustworthy and as the man who was the ever truthful. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was definitely and of a surety a man whose integrity was known to all people around him. His characteristics sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were not limited to his integrity. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had been given all sorts of beautiful characteristics, and to the best that humanity can reach to. And one of the beautiful prophets, and one of the most amazing prophets that we find mention of within the Quran, is Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. And one of the reasons why we find him to be so great is because he's known as Abu al-Anbiya, the father of the messengers. And also because if you look within the Quran, you'll find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only gives this one quality to one messenger, and that is Ibrahim alayhi salam. And that is the fact that he was like a nation altogether. Inna Ibrahima kana ummatan qanitan lillahi hanifa. The Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam used to be a man that was a nation all by himself. Okay? And what does it mean when the Prophet Ibrahim was a nation all by himself? When we say Ibrahim alayhi salam was a nation all by himself, what is being said is the man had the power, the strength, the morale of an entire nation by himself. During the lifetime of Ibrahim, or at least the early portion of the lifetime of Ibrahim, nobody else was on the planet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a Muslim except Ibrahim. Struggle was there during this message of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim is trying to spread the message to humanity, and Allah says he's a single person, but he's an entire nation by himself. And if you see, look at the outcome that Ibrahim alayhi salam had brought, it was the outcome of an entire nation. Do you not see that Ibrahim alayhi salam was that very messenger who had left behind his wife and his son at a very young age? And this particular child is taken care of by the leave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from that valley where there is no water sprouts a spring that illuminates the entire humanity. That is Ibrahim alayhi salam. And for that reason, he is considered an entire nation, because he brought about an entire nation within the ranks of humanity. Ibrahim alayhi salam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I look at this verse, and every single time I would read this verse, I would say to myself, Ibrahim alayhi salam is an entire nation. But we know for a fact that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told us, Ana sayyidu waladi Adam wala fakhar. I am the master of the children of Adam, and I am not boasting about this. And there is no need for me to boast. So if Ibrahim is a nation, then what is the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What do you think the Messenger would be if Ibrahim alayhi salam is a nation? if Ibrahim is a nation, my dear brother, my dear sister, meaning if Ibrahim is an individual who has encompassed the great qualities that a nation has to offer, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمْ يَحْسُدُونَ النَّاسَ عَلَى مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Do they become jealous of the people? At what? Do they become jealous of the people, the entire humanity, because of the virtue that we have given to them? If you look at this verse, the scholars of tafsir, they said the people is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if the messenger Ibrahim is a nation, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is humanity. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been given every single virtue that exists within humanity at the peak and the epitome of its existence. If you look at his loyalty, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the most loyal of all. If you look at his strength, the Prophet is the strongest of all. If you look at the Prophet's looks, the Prophet is the most blessed in looks of all. If you look at the odor, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's araq, his sweat turns into what? Perfume. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by far is the epitome of every single thing that the humanity has to offer. You think about the past, from the time of Adam alayhi salam. You think about the present and all of the beautiful things that humanity has been able to develop. And if you think about the future, there will never be any nation that has anything good to offer, except the epitome of that goodness is within what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has left behind. And hence, if a person ends up feeling a defeat by a culture other than the culture of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then by Allah, that is weakness in faith. Because if you recognize that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam couldn't have been outdone in any regard, then you would recognize that the best way and the best message and the best culture would be the culture that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has left behind. And even the looks of Rasulullah. Let's start off at the looks of Rasulullah. Hassan ibn Thabit, the famous poet who was the poet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would say that وَأَحْسَنُ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَرَ قَطُّ عَيْنِي وَأَجْمَلُ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَلِدِ النِّسَاءُ خُلِقَتَ مُبَرَّأً مِنْ كُلِّ عَيْبٍ كَأَنَّكَ قَدْ خُلِقَتَ كَمَا تَشَاءُ. He would say that more beautiful, more perfect than you, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my eyes have never seen. He would say, more beautiful than you, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do not fail to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this gathering. More beautiful than you, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, women have never given birth to. خُلِقَتَ مُبَرَّأً مِنْ كُلِّ عَيْبٍ. You have been created, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, free of all defect. It's as if you have been created just as you yourself has pleased to be created. وَأَجْمَلُ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَلِدِ النِّسَاءُ. More beautiful than Rasulullah, we haven't seen in existence. So whatever was of beauty within Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then that is considered the epitome of beauty. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and sometimes we talk about people and their face, mashallah, illuminated. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they used to say his face was so illuminated that it would look as if there was a sun running in the face of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because of the illumination that would exude, because of the illumination that would show from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's face. Many sahaba, if you look at them and their experience with Rasulullah, they will describe the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this very beautiful manner. I looked at the moon and I looked at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a red garment that had strokes on it. And when I looked at the two, فَلَهُوَ عِنْدِي أَحْسَنُ مِنَ الْقَمَرِ. When I looked at him and I looked at the moon, then the Prophet's face was more beautiful to me than the moon. And the Arabs, they used to use the moon as a metaphor for the epitome of beauty. So when he's saying that, he's saying he's more beautiful than beautiful. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's face was this beautiful face that Anas ibn Malik, he says it was as if it was a piece carved out of the moon, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet ﷺ was described to be the most beautiful person that humanity has ever seen. And this beauty was given to Rasulullah. It wasn't just external beauty. It was a beauty that was within his message. And for that reason, when the Prophet ﷺ would address people, you see, he had a commanding tone, alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet ﷺ knew how to address people. You see, some people may have information, some people may have knowledge, some people may have things to say, but they don't have the commanding voice. This is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Prophet had the highest degree of this. When the Prophet would speak, they said that people would be in silence and not move a muscle. It's as if birds would be sitting on top of their heads. Meaning that even if a bird was to be sitting on top of their heads, it wouldn't know that this is actually a human being that can grab me and hold me. It wouldn't fly off. It would imagine this human being to be an inanimate object which I can use to rest on. Right? Because they would be in silence, pin drop, silence without a movement. كَأَنَّمَا عَلَىٰ رُؤُوسِهِمُ الطَّيْرِ It's as if upon their heads are these birds that are not moving, because they don't know these human beings to be actually animate objects. This is the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ had spread a legacy of beauty. You see, the message of the Prophet ﷺ, it is a message of beauty. It's a message that is full of spiritual beauty. It's a message that is full of ritual beauty. It's a message that's also full of physical beauty. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ would tell the Sahaba, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beautiful. And Allah loves beauty. And for that reason, Allah had given Rasulullah that beauty. And for that reason, Allah expects us to also beautify and cleanse and purify ourselves. And for that reason, the Prophet ﷺ would tell us something that is so beautiful. He would say, أَصْلِحُوا لِبَاسَكُمْ Go and cleanse up your clothes, fix up your clothes, wear the right things. The Prophet ﷺ, he would say, وَأَصْلِحُوا رِحَالَكُمْ And in modern language, that simply means go and clean up your cars. Right? Fix up your rihal. Fix up your mounts. So clean up your cars. Right? Because cleaning up a car shows a character of an individual, right? Shows the character and the way the person engages with life and the way the person takes life seriously, whether he's intrinsically and inherently a clean person or whether it's just a show that a person is putting up to the people, right? So the Prophet ﷺ would say, أَصْلِحُوا لِبَاسَكُمْ وَأَصْلِحُوا رِحَالَكُمْ Fix up your clothes and fix up your cars, right? And he would say, حَتَّى تَكُونُوا كَأَنَّكُمْ شَامَةٌ فِي النَّاسِ Until you become as if you are a beauty spot in humanity. When a Muslim walks around, the Muslim is that beauty spot of humanity. When a Muslim walks around, the Muslim is that fragrance within humanity. When a Muslim walks around, what is expected of you is to become the most beautiful thing that people have ever seen, so such that everybody looks and sees, oh, look at this person, I would like to be like him. حَتَّى تَكُونُوا Look at this beautiful thing that the Messenger ﷺ is saying. The rest of the body is not a beauty mark. Allah's Messenger ﷺ saying, become like that few on the skin of a person, be the beauty mark that would beautify the rest of humanity. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to be this beauty mark. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a person who would love good smell. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a masjid that would be smelling beautiful. You know, sometimes we go to a masjid and when we get inside this masjid, the masjid is, the floor is smelling. When you're making sijda, you're trying to keep your head aglide so that you're not smelling the floor. And by the way, that ends up nullifying the individual's prayer if you keep your head aglide, right? So the floor should be smelling well and good and beautiful, and the people should be smelling the same way, not if you just have a smoke and come right into the masjid. No. First of all, don't do that. But if you want to be doing that, then don't be coming to the masjid and bothering everybody else, right? The Prophet ﷺ would command for a person that would have garlic If the person would have garlic very, very in close vicinity of them coming to the mosque, in that time period, the Prophet ﷺ would command them, for them to leave. مَنْ أَكَلَ مِنْ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَ فَلَا قُرُبَنَّ مَسْجِدَنَا هَذَا. Whoever eats from this tree, then let him not come to our mosque. The Prophet ﷺ would tell some of the companions to take an individual of such nature out of the mosque all the way to Baqi'ah, so that the smell would never come to the masjid. Right? And Baqi'ah seems a little bit closer because the graveyard got bigger. And it also seems a little bit closer because the masjid itself got bigger. But if you think about a smaller masjid and a smaller graveyard, that is quite a distance. Right? That is quite a distance. All of that so that the foul smell doesn't end up coming to the masjid. The Prophet ﷺ had an individual by the name of Nu'aym al-Mujammir who would have a bakhur, a mabkhara, and he would go around the masjid of Rasulullah ﷺ blowing the bakhur all around so that there's good scent, you know, all around the masjid of Rasulullah. Basically, he would be spraying the air freshener all around the masjid sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This was the practice that was designated to Nu'aym by Rasulullah. The Prophet ﷺ would take care of this masjid. You know, when you come to a masjid, now I'm happy to come to this masjid. The facilities here are beautiful. When you come to a masjid, there should be a lot of things that are at the masjid. The Prophet ﷺ would provide many, many things for the people at the masjid. One of the excuses that people have of not coming to the masjid, it's a legitimate excuse, but what is it? One of the excuses that even the Deen of Allah excuses you from coming to the masjid is what? If you're sick. You're sick. Then even if you're sick, then you don't have to come to the masjid even if you're obliged to come otherwise. Right? The Prophet ﷺ would have a woman by the name of Al-Aslamiya, Rafida, and she would be the ER specialist at the masjid. So that when people come to the masjid, or when people get sick, they have no excuse. They'll come to the masjid for ER. Yeah? And in my travels, I've actually seen a masjid that has a clinic inside of it. So when people get sick, they can go to the clinic and pray salah at the same time. Right? So maybe that's another idea for you, to start a clinic somewhere around here. So people come to the masjid, and they can also visit the clinic at the same time. Right? This was during the lifetime of the Prophet ﷺ. This is Rasulullah. He's caring for people. When they're coming to the masjid, he doesn't wish for them to go through difficulty and trials of life and this and that. Come to the masjid, we have a facility for you to get cured. The Prophet ﷺ was a man of strength, right? The Prophet ﷺ was a man that was the strongest man that has ever walked the face of this earth. Ever. To a degree that the Sahaba would say that كُنَّا إِذَا حَمِيَ الْوَطِيسُ اتَّقَيْنَا بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ. We would be, when we would be in a difficult scenario, when the fight would get really tough, we would find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and we would hide behind him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be there to protect everybody. He was like the father of this ummah. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, النَّبِيُّ أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more worthy of the believers. And in some of the narrations of this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ أَبُلْ لَهُمْ, and He is like their father as well. He is like their father. So in reality, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was like that father behind whom people that would be afraid, they would find shelter behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's strength was so strong, and he was so powerful that on the day of Khandaq, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam hadn't had food for 3 days. And the Sahaba hadn't had food, or maybe some of them ate, because you see, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would rather have people eat than eat himself. This is the practice of the pious leaders. Even this was something that was inherited even by Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Umar ibn Khattab, one day there was a drought in Medina, so Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he would not eat for himself, but when the caravans would come for food, he would give food to everybody else, and then he would go home and eat something very, very primitive. And one day he did this, and as he is doing this, one of the companions that was also coming with the caravan, he said, come, you're going to eat in my house. So this companion, he thought that Umar ibn al-Khattab, he's going to, Khalifa to Rasulullah or Amir al-Mu'mineen, he's going to have something really nice at his house, right? So Umar al-Khattab, he gave the meat and the bread and everything is distributed and it's all done and over. So when they go to the house of Umar ibn al-Khattab, he has some breadcrumbs that he puts before this individual and he starts eating himself. He said, why did you take me away from the lahm? Huh? The lahmi ajeen, right? Why did you take me away from the lahm and the bread and you bring me and give me breadcrumbs? He said, by Allah, I'm only feeding you that which I eat. He said, I will never fill my stomach up with lahm until all of the Muslims are satiated and full. Until all of them are satiated and full. So the Prophet ﷺ is hungry, even if other, and in this very battle, there was another incident of such nature with Rasulullah ﷺ as well. But anyways, he's hungry, hasn't had food for 3 days. And the Sahaba who might have had a little bit more food and strength than the Prophet, so we think, than the Prophet ﷺ, all of them tried one after another to break this rock that was unbreakable to them as they are digging the trench, the battle of the trench, right? As they are digging this trench, they're not able to break this one specific rock. So when they bring the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet ﷺ picks up his axe or whatever tool he had, and he strikes once, and he strikes the second time, and he strikes a third time, and the rock shatters into pieces. And all of the companions weren't able to together break this rock. And the Prophet, who hadn't had food for 3 days, with three strikes, he's able to break this rock. What do you think would be the strength of this man had he had food? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was such a strong man that one day, you see people when they get too strong, sometimes they also become arrogant about themselves as well. So one man was of such nature, arrogant about himself, not humble. So this particular individual, his name was Rukanat ibn Yazid. And he would walk around arrogant and challenging and bullying people and so on and so forth. And one day, as he is doing what he does, the Prophet ﷺ said, you should accept Islam. So he started arguing and this and that, so the Prophet knew his psyche. He said, if I beat you in a wrestling match, would you accept Islam? So he said, of course, because he was unbeatable. As of yet, Quraysh hadn't found one person that could beat this person. So he said, of course, he was a legend. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, within moments, had him on the floor at his mercy. And as he had him on the floor at his mercy, this man, he literally, as we would say, tapped out. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam got up and said, Aslam, accept Islam. So he thought, maybe I tripped over a rock, maybe something happened. He said, give me another chance. Yeah, just give me one more chance. Maybe I tripped, maybe something happened. Maybe I didn't have my lahma ajeen for breakfast. Yeah? So, he said, and then he got up and the Prophet said, sure. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam stood before him yet again. And a second time, within moments, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had Rukana to his mercy again. So as this is happening, this person is bewildered. He said, I have never been put to the mercy of any individual. Rather, the equation is always the other way around. At least I would be able to challenge him. Moments he's treating me like I'm his child. At least I would be able to put up a fight. There's something wrong here. So he said, give me one more chance. One more chance. Best of three. Yeah, already he's lost the best of three. Maybe best of five. So he said that to the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ, yet again, a third time had him to his mercy within seconds on the floor, and he is above the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is above, and Rukana said, by Allah, and then he accepted Islam, because his arrogance was shattered at this moment. He realized, strength, there's people stronger than me. And that also shows you that arrogance is one of the key factors that leads us to rejecting truth. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ, when he was asked about arrogance, he said, بَطَرُ الْحَقِّ وَغَمْطُ النَّاسِ. It's when you start rejecting truth, and when you start disdaining, and when you start looking down upon people. Right? So this person would look down upon people because of which he had this rejectionary approach to anything that would come to him, except something that would challenge him in his very strength, in the area that his arrogance had developed from. He said that by Allah, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is above me, I was not able to manage even a limb from amongst my limbs. I was not able to move a muscle, and as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had me in a chokehold or whatever else, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had the most knowledge that humanity has ever seen. You see, at some points people think about strength and physical strength. And then because of their physical strength, they may end up losing the moral focus of accepting truth. And at other points, and in other segments of society, people may be looking at knowledge. That's also something that brings arrogance to the people, right? Someone has too much knowledge and too much information, they think they can figure everything out on their own. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just as he was created the strongest of people, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was simultaneously created as the most knowledgeable of people ever. Most knowledgeable of people. There has never been in humanity, rather not even humanity, there has never been in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a creation which has more knowledge than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In the creation of Allah, there has never been a creation which has more knowledge than the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And amongst the evidences that we have for this is one day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi, and these are, by the way, there are many, many reasons to believe this. There's one reason that I will share before you. One day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he ended up praying Fajr with the Sahaba. And as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam prayed Fajr, after Fajr, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam stood up and he started giving a lecture, a khutbah. And he gave this khutbah and he continued, and he continued, and he continued all the way up to Dhuhr. He's giving this lecture, right? Now of course, if I continue past 3 minutes after Isha, you'll all fall asleep, right? But then again, I'm obviously not as prolific as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is giving his lecture, and as he's giving his lecture, he's continuing all the way to Dhuhr. And we said, when he speaks, it's a commanding voice, everybody listens. They're listening all the way to Dhuhr. Very, very keenly. And then the Prophet finishes. He gets up and he does Dhuhr. And after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he does Dhuhr, he got back up on the minbar that was made for him, and he started giving another lecture from Dhuhr. He continues and continues and continues and continues to tell people until Asr comes. And then when Asr comes, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed Asr, and then he continued to talk and talk and talk all the way till Maghrib. And then he prayed, and he continued after prayer all the way to the night. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling the people of every single thing that will be till the day of judgment. He told them, as found in the hadith, فَحَدَّثَنَا بِمَا هُوَ كَائِنٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Then he told us of everything that will be till the day of judgment. And another narration of Hudhayfa in Sunan Abi Dawood, he said that I'm not sure if the Sahaba have forgotten or they are pretending to forget so they don't have to tell other people, because some things are very difficult for humans to bear. But these were people that were trained to handle information. لا أدري أنسي أصحابي أم تناسوا. I'm not sure if some of them have forgotten or they are pretending to forget. But the Prophet ﷺ had told us, and he didn't tell us, he didn't leave behind even one person that will cause a fitna within this ummah that had 300 odd men with him, except that he even told us of the fitna that will occur, where it will occur, and the name of the person that will cause the fitna within this ummah. This was the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And as a poet says, and this line of poetry is accurate, even if other things the poet may have said may not be accurate. دَعْمَدْ دَعَتْهُ النَّصَارَ فِي نَبِيِّهِمُ وَاحْكُمْ بِمَا شِئْتَ مَدْحًا فِيهِ وَاحْتَكِمِ. That leave off that which the Christians may have said about their messenger, i.e. bringing him to the state of divinity, and besides that, say whatever you please of virtue, because this is the greatest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet, the one who was chosen, the Prophet would speak in the most eloquent of manners. And that's why Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she would say, مَا كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَسْرُدُ كَسَرْدِكُمْ هَذَا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam wouldn't be a chatterbox like all the rest of you. Right? That wouldn't be the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would speak. وَلَكِنْ يَتَكَلَّمُ بِكَلَامٍ بَيِّنٍ فَصْلٍ يَحْفَظُهُ مَنْ جَلَسَ إِلَيْهِ. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would speak with a kalam, with speech that is bayyin, with speech that is clear, with speech that is very, very well designed, with speech that is very well thought out. This is the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would speak. And because there was so much clarity within the speech of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, people would memorize the things he would say from the very, very time that they would be said. You know, some people are gifted in that manner. When they speak with thoughts that have been given the characteristic of organization. Every thought, the next one is coupled with the one that is previous. And every thought, the next one is going to be coupled with the one that is after that, and so on and so forth, till the end of the thought. So the messenger's thoughts, every single one of them, were very well thought out, to a degree that everybody would be able to memorize the things that the Prophet ﷺ had to say in a beautiful and prolific manner with which the Prophet ﷺ would speak. The Prophet ﷺ was this man. My dear brothers and sisters, remember to send salat upon the Prophet ﷺ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. Indeed, the angels, indeed Allah and the angels send salutations upon the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and also the peace, O who you believe, send the salutations and the peace upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If this is not igniting love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, by Allah, I don't know what will. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is that man that has been given every single good characteristic to a degree that Allah had said, Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. Indeed, we have given you what is known as the kawthar. Do you know what kawthar is? Kawthar is every single type of goodness. Al-khayrul kathir. Goodness that doesn't have any limitations. Every single beauty, every single great character, every single manifestation of nobility, every single thing that humanity has to offer, the Prophet ﷺ was offered. The Prophet ﷺ, he would also be a very kind member of his very family, at his home, with his children, with his grandchildren, with relatives, with people that were far off relatives, with people that were friends of relatives. His loyalty extended to all of these. The Prophet ﷺ, as Aisha describes him, كَانَ رَجُلًا كَرِجَالِكُمْ. He was like a man, just all the rest, like all the rest of you men. Except what? إِلَّا أَنَّهُ كَانَ ضَحُكًا بَسَّامًا. Except when the Prophet ﷺ would come, he would smile and laugh. When the Prophet, there is men now, when you're smiling and laughing throughout, but as soon as you see the door, the frown starts. And some of the men I saw, they're making the posture of the frown already. Yeah? Because they just thought about the door. Yeah? So the point is that the Prophet, when he would see the door, the miswak would come out of the Prophet ﷺ's pocket. The Prophet would brush his teeth so that when he goes and meets his wife, the most beloved woman to him, the most beloved person to him, right? The Prophet ﷺ would greet her in the best of manners, and then jokes and laughter would begin. And the day that there would be no jokes and laughter, Aisha would right away know something wrong has happened in the life of Rasulullah. Otherwise, normally, right? Normally there's a laughter. And for us, the day the laughter occurs, our wives may know that that is the day there's something wrong happening. Yeah? Don't make yourself that person who, you know, barely ever laughs to his family. Laugh and joke, even if you don't. You know, dignity, leave it outside the door. Play with the children. You make some giggly noises, it's not going to take from your stature. The children will remember that they knew a playful father. They will remember that they knew a father who would joke around with them as if they were the father was his friend. And the women, same idea. Of course, the women already do it. We have to tell them to stop a little bit, yeah? No, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Yeah, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was this man that would walk into the house and the atmosphere of the house would change. He was a man, as Aisha describes, he would also do the things and the chores of the house. Yeah, he would do the things and the chores of the house. كَانَ يَعْمَلُ عَمَلَ الْبَيْتِ. He would do all of the things in the house. كَانَ يَكُونُ فِي مُهْنَةِ أَهْلِهِ. The Prophet ﷺ was busy with the affairs of the house. As he's going outside, he's busy. You know, we say, we came back from work, I'm really tired, and this and that and the other. And the culture has become now, the woman also goes out for the work. And miskina, when she comes home, she still has to do the work of the house as well. The Prophet would go out, and the women of the Prophet ﷺ wouldn't have to go out. And even then, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and by the way, I assure you, no matter how busy you are, which CEO you are, which construction company you work for, your life wasn't tougher than the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But even then, when he would come home and he would be within the help of his family, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a man that would even stitch his own clothes. Yeah. For us, when the clothes rip, we don't think about stitching. And of course, we don't even think about our wives stitching. We think about throwing them out. And then if we see someone stitching their clothes, we're like, brother, we'll buy you something. Yeah? Stitching the clothes is not a problem. Not everything that rips needs to be chucked out. Not everything that rips suddenly needs to be thrown out into the garbage. That is what is called israf. And that's why the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make dua for the clothes of the people. He would say akhliqi abli wa akhliqi wa yukhlifu Allah, that may this cloth go old and start to become such that it needs a stitch now, and Allah replace it after that with another one. Meaning that you're supposed to manage the clothes, even if they're getting old, they shouldn't be chucked out. Just because you wore them 3-4 times, it has a little bit of a scar, this, that, wash it off to the best of your ability. Other than that, keep on wearing it. You want to give somebody a gift, you know, you want to donate something, then buy a new one and give it to them. Otherwise, if you're continuously, this is the consumer culture, this is what it's made us, right? We wear something 3 times and we've been to the same gathering with the same shirt 3 times. We're like, people are going to think we don't have any other clothes. Yeah? People are going to think we don't have any other clothes. It's not about that. It's about the fact that we have to understand that not everything, every time you have money, you don't spend it. And that's why Umar ibn Khattab, he used to say that are you, every time you love to see, when whatever you love, are you ever, are you going to end up buying it? أَفَكُلَّمَا اشْتَهَيْتْ اشْتَرَيْتْ. Every single time you look at something and you like it, you're going to buy it? No. If you have $80 and you are $100 and you know you already have a shirt, instead of having the temptation of buying that shirt, go and save the life of an orphan. $120 in certain countries can raise a child for a year. Have you thought about that? And we spend, wallahi, we spend such money on a daily basis in things we do not need. Just because, yeah, the shirt is getting too old, now we need to go purchase another one. And the other one. And then we start giving ourselves excuses. Inna Allaha jameelun yuhibbul jamal. Right? That's even being used out of context. If Allah loved this type of jamal, my brother, Rasulullah would have practiced it. Allah is beautiful and He loves beauty. If it was this type of beauty that was meant, then the first person that would be implementing it, it would be Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would understand the talents of people. You know, for us, when we see at times the talents of an individual, what happens? We start to get offended by their talents because we're afraid they're going to be able to outdo us in one way or another. A person who's smart understands to occupy people in their best occupations. People are good at certain things. Other people are good at other things. When the Prophet ﷺ would see this, the Prophet ﷺ's lineage or his tribal belonging would not come into the middle of the Prophet ﷺ accepting someone's beauty and character and his quality and letting them do that. And that's why one of the days, a man from amongst the Sahaba, he had come before the Prophet ﷺ by the name of Talq ibn Ali al-Hanafi from Banu Hanifa. Right? He had come to the Prophet ﷺ, and as they are digging or they're making the masjid of Rasulullah ﷺ, they are making the tiles and they're making the bricks that they would use to make this masjid. Right? Or at least put the structure of this masjid. So as they're doing that, some of the companions, they're not really good at it. They're trying, they're trying their best. So this companion, he ended up taking the shovel and started mixing it. The clay that they had there. And he started making some nice groundwork right there. The Prophet immediately recognized this. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, let the da'ul hanafiyya. Let the person that came from Hanafi or came from Banu Hanifa, let him do this. فَإِنَّهُ أَضْبَطُكُمْ لِلطِّينِ. Because he is the best of you that can do this. Nobody else can do this job better than him. So leave him and you guys get to something else. Right? As soon as the Prophet would recognize or see a talent within something or someone, and that was one of the key factors that made the civilization of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Medinan society become a ruling society so fast. In a lot of societies, when talented people arise, what do? We shun them away, put them away. This guy is a talented individual, but of course he's not following my way. Maybe he knows a better way than yourself, akhi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recognize these talents. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the last trait that I want to leave you off with. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a man that understood loyalty. Wallahi, one of the things that we are missing within our lives, by Allah, is loyalty. We don't have loyalty. We don't have allegiance. We don't understand to be loyal to our brother. We don't understand to be loyal to our sisters. We don't understand to the sense of brotherhood that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has wished for this religion to have. When He says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. Indeed, believers are brothers. It's lost because we have lost loyalty. The Prophet's loyalty was for every single believer. The Prophet's loyalty was for every single oppressed. The Prophet's loyalty was for every single person that was from his family or that was other than his family, related or not related. The Prophet's loyalty extended even to the animals. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so loyal that as soon as a gift would come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he hadn't forgotten his wife Khadija, who had died in the early part of the advent of Islam in Mecca. Khadija was this loyal woman to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every single time his nation would forsake him, Khadija would stand by his side. Every single time his people would forsake him, his people would stop him from going into commerce. The Prophet was a great businessman, right? Money means power. They were afraid he's going to make a lot of money, and then what's he going to do? Have power and strength within society. So they would stop even doing business with him. Khadija would be by her side with her money. And that's why when Aisha said something wrong about Khadija, many, many years later, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Wallahi ma abdalani Allahu khayra minha." By Allah, Allah hasn't replaced anything better, me with anything better than her. Allah hasn't replaced me with anything better than her. Because she was saying, oh, you have been given someone better. She was old, she was frail, and now you've been given a beautiful young wife and this and that. So the Prophet ﷺ said, by Allah, Allah hasn't replaced me with anything better than her. She used to stand by my side when others had forsaken me. وَوَاسَتْنِي بِمَالِهَا إِذْ حَرَمَنِيَ النَّاسِ. And she used to console me with her money as other people had taken away commerce from me. And from her I had had my children. He hadn't forgotten all of these blessings that Khadija had given to him by the leave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So every single time the Prophet would get a gift, immediately he would take his gift and he would distribute it amongst the friends of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. This was a practice that continued throughout his life. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he would slaughter a sheep, he would keep some meat for himself or other people, and many times nothing for himself, of course. And he would ensure that the friends of Khadija get a piece of that meat. Because this was a loyal wife, and throughout the life, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam respected the loyalty of this woman sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as one of the days, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a woman come to the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فهش لها وأحسن السؤال. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, suddenly he started welcoming her really well. Come in and sit down, and here, take a seat, and so on and so forth. He welcomed her in a very beautiful manner, and he started asking her in a very beautiful manner, how have you been? How is everything? What have you done? This and that. As if they were long, you know, together. As if he knew her for a long time. So when she had left, they asked her, he said, this was a woman that used to come to us when we used to live with Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. So he remembered even a visitor that would visit during the time of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّهَا كَانَتْ تَأْتِينَا أَيَّامَ خَدِيجَةً. She used to come to us during the lifetime of Khadija. وَإِنَّ كَرَمَ الْعَهْدِ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. And indeed, recognizing a relationship that you used to have with people, that is from faith. You know, many a times we see people in a mall, and we're Muslims, and we haven't seen each other for years, right? And because you're busy and the other person is busy, and because you think it may be awkward to say salam to the person you haven't seen for years and so on and so forth, both of you depart and walk the other way. Wallahi, that is not from iman. That is not from iman. From iman would be you stop there and you say salam and you remind that person we used to have a relationship. Inna karam al-ahd. Indeed, recognizing a relationship that you used to have, that is from what? And honoring that relationship, that is from faith. The Prophet's loyalty was so loyal that his loyalty would even extend to animals. And that is why one day they had badmouthed the camel of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You don't want to say anything bad about the camel of Rasulullah, right? So he was on the camel, and suddenly as they are going to Mecca, the camel stops at a certain spot, and this camel, when it stopped, the Sahaba that were looking from behind, they said, خلأت القصوى. The قصوى, the she camel of Rasulullah by the name of قصوى, it has stopped. It has given up. It's not strong enough. You see camels, and you guys know about camels over here, right? They just took me to have some camel burgers. Yeah? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. I'm thinking about going for another one after Isha. It was very tasty, mashallah. Tayyib. So the idea is that the camels, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, once he said about camels, he said that all of you, you, the example of human beings, annasu ka ibilin mi'a. The examples of human beings is like 100 camels. La takadu tajidu fiha rahilatan. You would barely find among the camels a single mount that can go for hours and miles and kilometers after kilometers, right? You guys say kilometers or miles? Kilometers. May Allah guide you all. Yeah? So we say kilometers as well. That was just a joke, yeah? Tayyib. So for kilometers on in, this camel can go. That type of camel you're not going to find very easily. That's a rare camel. And people that understand camels or camel jockeys and so on, I don't know if that's what they're called, but whatever they are, they understand and recognize which camel has that strength. And of course the Sahaba are all, you know, they all have camels or they've all raised up within that same culture. So understand this. He's giving them this parable. He said, the example of all of you is like the example of 100 camels. From the 100, you will barely find one single camel that can make you go for hours on end. So when you make fun of the camel of the Prophet ﷺ, you're saying your camel is not the perfect one. They said, خَلَأَتِ الْقَصْوَى, the قَصْوَى has given up. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, وَاللَّهِ مَا خَلَأَتْ. By Allah, it hasn't given up. Why? وَمَا ذَاكَ لَهَا بِخُلُقٍ. That is not an attribute and a trait that I've seen of my camel. So don't be talking about this camel. I have been with it long enough for me to know that this camel doesn't do that. It doesn't give up. وَلَكِنْ حَبَسَهَا حَابِسُ الْفِيلِ. Rather, what had happened was that Allah had told it to stop at the spot. That was a commandment from Allah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the tawfiq to practice, to convey, and grant us the understanding to get closer to the message of Rasulullah. By Allah, in these trying times that we are in, one of the ways we can save ourselves from the fitan of this life is to understand and love and cherish the existence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam among us, embodied within the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.